and slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner mindfulness, inner awareness that you have developed. Then develop mindfulness throughout. When you move, then whatever movement, activity within your form, maintain awareness. Even how you want to move your leg, how you want to turn your hand, move your hand, blinking, shifting your whatever, warm clothing and all those things, scratching, rubbing, or whatever. Maintain awareness as you move, body and mind as one, blink, aware. This will help you to anchor your mind to your body so that you don't think so much. It's to slow down your thought process, but not your activity. Okay, let us welcome the four new Kalyanamitra who just arrived. They are Sister Yip Subangjaya, then Sister Kelly, Irene and Richard from Klang. Where are they? Ah, sadhu. Okay. Where are the other three? Oh, okay. You are Irene. Okay. Where is Richard? I haven't seen. Oh, you are Richard. Oh, okay. Yip is, I know. I know her. She used to go to Subang. Okay, what I will do is, just for their benefit, we will take the salutation to the triple gem again. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the Saddha Virya, faith and spiritual zeal. Then we will chant the Thai style. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Sokato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Okay. I think for new people, you have the program sheet with you, the program sheet. Do you have? Richard, you have? I think Sui An gave you that. Yes. Then what about this book? Do you have? Anybody don't have this book? You have, this book. Then the orange book. You have? I read? Okay. Good. Keep them. They are very useful. Okay, good. So now I can share with you all for the benefits of the new four Kalyanamitra who just came. You turn to the first page of your retreat program. I will refresh the earlier Kalyanamitra and to benefit the new Kalyanamitra who just arrived. I will read them again. Meditation retreat at Mahayana Triple Gem Temple, Brinchang, Cameron Highland, from the 14th of March to 22nd of March 2015, conducted by me. This Mahayana Triple Gem Temple in Mandarin is also called San Bao Wan Fo Si. Actually, it's San Bao Si, but they have the 10,000 Buddha, the 1,4,4. So Sambao and 1,4,4. Well, that was the Chinese word at the entrance there, if I'm not wrong. Well, my Mandarin lousy, but I roughly can guess. Is it correct? Sambao, 1,4,4. Okay. So as an introduction, this meditation retreat caters for all participants who may be from different background or Buddhist tradition and varying experience. Means it caters for all. The emphasis here is on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, instead of focusing on the method and the technique of meditation. The reason being, the method and technique are only skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, to develop heedfulness or mindfulness. And it never defines the meditation as well. So that's why I say the focus is on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, instead of just focusing on method, technique. Because a lot of tradition, they have this style of view that method and technique bring about different meditation, or they thought method and technique define what meditation is. So they say you do this method, it becomes vipassana. You do that method, it becomes samatha. So to avoid any confusion, we just want to make clear that all method and technique, they are series of instruction to do things, nothing to do with the meditation, the Noble Eightfold Path. But it's very useful because they are also skillful means to train the mind. So different people with different karmic background, they may be more suited to different meditation object or technique. That's why during the Buddha's time, he administered generally Anapanasati under Mahasatipatthana Sutta Kayanupassana. First category of training is Anapanasati, to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then later on, for certain monks, he teach differently. He give different meditation object. There was one monk who couldn't progress. Then the Buddha checked with his mind, Abhinya. It seems this monk, for 500 life, he has been a goldsmith's son. He liked gold. So the Buddha said, you use the golden Buddha as the object of meditation. Well, the moment he was given that object, he can focus, he can concentrate, he developed the sadha and the spiritual zeal. Then he went into it. Then as he was enjoying that, whatever nimitta inside there, the object of meditation, all of a sudden the Buddha used his special ability, abhinya, to actually make the golden Buddha dissolve. The moment it dissolved, this monk became an arahant. Where he suddenly realized that such beautiful golden Buddha is also condition arising form, and it will dissolve, and the characteristics are all there. Then he must have passed parami cultivation. That's why immediately it can happen. Then there was also another monk who can't even remember a stanza. I forgot his name. Then if I'm not wrong, the Buddha tell him, he asked him to go and rub, take a clean white cloth and go and rub against something, I forgot already. What? Rub against what? What is it? I think so. The name was familiar. What? Pandika? Chula Pandika. Something like that. So you know what happened? He cannot even remember a stanza. So he rub. Oh, this one is very good Dhamma. Then you know what happened? All of a sudden, he became enlightened. He he became enlightened. No? You know how he became enlightened? No? Because that white cloth, very clean. Yeah. But the moment he rub, the more he rub, the more dirty he become, no? The more stained he become. No? Then all of a sudden he understood the mind. You must not go and rub it or stir it or do anything. No? It was originally pure. You know? But the trouble with human beings, you go and stir the mind, you go and rub the mind and do all these things, that is stained. You know? This is how defilement comes in. You don't go and grab and cling and hold and stain, defilement cannot come in. And he's just like that, enlightened. Go and look for a cloth. Go and try. Not everybody can do that because the Buddha knew because of certain karmic conditioning behind and nature of particular monk. That's why he's called the Sama Sambuddha, fully enlightened. And he has this ability. So he knows how to allocate object of meditation. Okay? Anyway, I'll go on. Huh? The program are prepared to allow participants to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session which ends on the 17th. Where more Dhamma understanding will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session, which is on the 18th of March till 22nd of March, where noble silence, heedfulness, and diligent meditative cultivation will be emphasized. The second session, we have decided to modify it a bit, because I realize the essential Dhamma don't have to teach so much, but you need to go back and read up yourself and find out yourself, especially those who are new. Because if it's the first time you are hearing it and you are not familiar, it's very difficult for you to grasp and understand. So the book and the recording helps a lot. Especially the Heart Sutta book, Who Are You, the Green Book, and What Are You. Then the seminar paper will make you understand life and give you the understanding of how beautiful the Buddha's teaching is and how grateful or how fortunate are you to be born Chinese and as a Buddhist. Then this book, Knowing and Seeing, is also very useful. It's a Sabdasabha Sutta that can help you understand the various ways to overcome defilement, to confront defilement, to root out defilement. So what we have done is, we decided to have more time for reporting of meditation, clarification of how to develop the meditation and how to make full use of the Buddha Dharma, how to apply it into daily life, to deal with human problem, human suffering, and to understand the more pertinent and important aspect of cultivation. So now, this retreat, the emphasis is now on cultivation, which is the second phase of Dhamma, Patipatti. First phase is Pariyatti. Pariyatti is the learning of the doctrine or the teaching and the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. So all these are under the essential Dhamma. Basically, from Four Noble Truths is spin-off. So this one we have covered quite a lot. So this retreat initial session also we covered, but not as detailed as previous retreat because they are all in the notes. I just briefly go through. So the new people, you have to read up a bit. Then like our sister there, she didn't attend any other class, I think. What is my sweeping method also, she don't know. She thought like sweep floor. She sweep from the forehead to the leg straight away, one goes. So it's normal because you haven't attended and you have not heard and you don't have actual instruction. So just now before they start the meditation, I supposed to give them the instruction. But because of the arrival of the four, I have to give the notes. I say maybe tomorrow I will do that. Remind me, tomorrow morning. the first session, I will do it. I will give the instruction to those yogi who need instruction or who are new and not familiar. But anyway, I have already told them that there is a transcript book earlier on, which we have done 12 September 2013. And I've given quite a number to Klang, and they have photostated some too, I think. So if you need that book, if you are from Klang, get it from Brother Tay. If you are from Alastair or Penang, you get it from Ponchi. You have a copy there. Good. If you really can't find, you let me know. I still got a few copies to spare. So hopefully with that, the whole of meditation and Q&A, which are very good, the usual Thursday class that I share and teach, they are in transcript form. So when you read that, you will understand and you know what to do. We are all clearly explained. That will save me time. That's why now Thursday class, sometimes I just keep. If everybody has been there before, I no need to repeat. Or I just briefly go through, then ask them to read up the book, so that we can have more time to go into Dhamma, to go into the cultivation. So this is what we are doing. So I read you the main objective, or main purpose of this retreat. The first key objective is to realize the noble teachings of the Buddha. We are sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness, or apamada, as advised by the Buddha before his parinibbana. Apamadena sampadeta. And also via his Dhammapada verse 183, 21, 22 and 23. So you want to know what apamada is, heedfulness is in the Heart Sutta note. You want to know what Dhammapada 183, 21, 22, 23, even 1 and 2, they are all in the Heart Sutta note. So you need to read them. Then you want to know the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativeda, they are on the last page, appendix, the last appendix. The A, three sides folded. The second objective is to train them, to train yourself during the meditation retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness. So this is a silent mind with inner awareness, leading to the heedfulness from the moment you commence your retreat. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of the four aspects of clear comprehension. First is the sincerity of purpose. Then the second one is the domain of meditation. Third one is suitability. The fourth one is non-delusion, as a sign of our respect for the way place, and to keep your focus so that you don't deviate. Sincerity of purpose is very important. Means you are very sincere to cultivate this way to develop only wisdom, not to try to be attracted to psychic energy field and all those things. So you are very sincere. You just want to develop wisdom to become enlightened or awakened, so that you can free your mind, liberate your mind. Then you can be a noble one or Arya, enlightened being, who can be a blessing to all. Then the second thing is domain of meditation. This is very important, so that you are not deluded. Domain of meditation means, when can you meditate? So the Buddha said, actually, meditation can be done anywhere, any place, any time, and in any posture. So you cannot like give reason, I don't have time. That's enough. Or I wait till I retire, only I meditate, I'm too busy. Because meditation can be done anywhere, any place, any time, any posture. Means in the midst of work environment, in the midst of going about doing your things, doing your chores, the daily chores, even as a housewife or doing housework, while washing, cooking, cleaning, marketing, all you can develop daily mindfulness, you can develop what they call a religious routine to help you to develop the spiritual faculty, to train your mind, to develop the wholesomeness, the merit, the blessing and all those things. Then while you do all this, meditation will develop and you will progress. So this one, domain of meditation, is very useful. A lot of people don't understand it. I cannot meditate because I got no time to go for retreat. I got no time to attend class. I got no time to do all those things. These are excuses. You don't have to go to all those things. You cultivate yourself at home. You are really so busy. But the question is, what is your priority in life? If you put work and other things as priority, and this cultivation to develop wisdom, to liberate your mind, to transform your life, you didn't see the importance and you refuse to allocate time. That is your choice, Sana. But you really, really have to think hard into it or reflect, contemplate into it. If you don't do this, you don't understand life, you become heedless. Whatever materialistic wealth and success you have still cannot help you, because you will be afflicted when you confront the First Noble Truth reality. Then the third domain is suitability. You have to be very clear about three things, is it? The most important time is now, here, this place. The most important place is here, this place. Time is now. So don't procrastinate. And the most important people are those you can help in front of you within this place, unless you radiate metta and all those things. So suitability refer to understanding the reality. Because if you are here meditating, you worry about your work, you worry about your friend, your loved one or whatever, then you don't understand the reality. Your thought projection is not a reality, understand? That is the thought creating mental state to delude you. Then it arises what? Worry, anxiety. You say, I want to help, but you cannot help, but they are there, you are here. So the reality is, if you are here, you do what you have to do. You do what you come from, for. Just like PG's mother yesterday received the news, admitted to Adventist hospital. Then luckily she actually able to confront it. Initially it was a bit disturbed because the pressure from the brother, sister and the loved one is your mother, you know. But she is already 97 years old. So anyway, she said, you really need to go back, she will go back. So once you make the appropriate decision, then it's okay. Then this morning, we try to help by radiating love, metta, and did our pure wish. Then exactly after the meditation morning, before the breakfast, I think she received the message that no need to hurry back already, because the mother is much better already. So that's why she can stay on. So this is a very beautiful state, very wholesome state. So when you understand, you don't have to worry. So whatever news you receive, you tell yourself the reality is you are here. What can you do amicably to resolve it? You need to go back, don't go and worry. Worry is heedlessness. To be heedful is to be aware, to be mindful, and to ask yourself, what can you do? How can you resolve this issue amicably? And how can you help? So she can help while here to radiate all the goodness and kindness and the wholesomeness that she has developed. And because Kayamita came to know, so we have the condition to help. That's why we just did what we have to do. And it's very wholesome. So suitability has covered non-delusion is about the development of insight, not to be trapped in those mind state when you do your meditation. Okay, we move on. Third one is learn to be at ease, very important. And naturally relax and aware. We are heedfulness most of the time. Always move, act and speak naturally. But with inner awareness, means clarity, awareness from inside throughout the day, means you are aware of what you do, all your action, movement, speech, thought process, and then action. To stabilize your five spiritual faculty, especially sati, until they become very stable and unshakable. The fourth objective is, with the stable daily mindfulness or sati awareness, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. We are constant creative contemplation, reflection, inquiry into the Four Noble Truths. So this one is the second turning, leading to the perfection of all the noble eightfold path factor of right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness training throughout the day, to insight into the characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the cessation of suffering of form and mind as taught by the Buddha. Then the last one is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhamma are the five mental hindrances, Pancha Nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty of Pancha Indriyas, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the seven factors of enlightenment, or Satta Bhujanga. Then Dana, Sila, Bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. What I miss out there is dependent origination, the Paticca Samuppada. They are all in the notes, so you take your time to learn them. Okay, we finish. So now we come to meditation, reporting, and sharing. Anybody wants to report his or her meditation and maybe ask the relevant question. Anybody? Yes. Oh, somebody recommend my wife. Alicia Point, Mrs. Steele. Oh, Pang, very quick to pass the mic. We have to check with her whether she wants to share or not. It's up to you. She's quite shy, her English not good, but she is beautiful inside. Yeah, share whatever that you want to share. She can understand a lot of very penetrative Dhamma, but she's very quiet, very shy.
Good evening, Kalyamita. It's just the experience.
You can use Mandarin if you want.
The day before yesterday morning. That means yesterday morning. Yesterday morning. Early in the morning, find something because I'm in a meditating state. I lie down, don't want to get up because it's in a meditating state. So I just meditate. Then there is a sudden something drop, very loud sound. So I'm meditating state, this part, and I'm lying down, here and down there it's just like a star. It's just pop, then silent.
Mm.
That's all. I'm just no fear, no nothing, just quiet. That's all. So I just quiet. It's just a phenomena, just like that. I know. In a way, it's just inside, no only. Then after that, I continue to meditate. And it's, there's a warm sensation around my heart area. It's coming up. Because in at home, I also have this sensation. It's just that the body is waking up. Your physical is waking up. So I want to get ready for the class. And then, as I want to wake up, the moment I want to wake up, cannot, because there is the whole thing is just the heartbeat.
Mm.
It's just like, say it? Pupa.
Mm.
Very loud. So I just relax, go into meditation, lie down, and just relax until it goes slowly, and just become very fine, and then only I just wake up.
Mm.
And continue my daily mindfulness. That's all.
Mm. Sadhu. Because what happened was she cannot describe. She don't know how to describe. She don't know how to use. But her English is limited because she's Chinese school. So what happened was when she came and reported to me, I said, very good. Then somebody in the kitchen, I think Alicia, he said, get your wife to share. They never share. So that's how Alicia just now pointed at my wife. And Mrs. Steele. So what happened was, when that thing fell, it was the thermal flask, I think. Yeah, she, later on, when she came out of the meditation, she asked another roommate, don't know who, he said, did you, who?
I asked Ingbi.
Ingbi, did you do something?
Did you drop?
Drop.
Thing or not?
Drawing.
You use cup
or what?
I say, no. Is his thermal, and then going accidentally. How do you say?
Hit the thermal.
Drop into the.
On the floor.
On the floor.
Then immediately that instant, you think like she in the glass, space ball, right? No, space didn't ball, right? But for a case, the two areas of consciousness come together. She, you know, is the three areas come together and go in. So is it one from here, like two stars, like, simultaneously, and she become quiet, silent.
Yeah. I want to say, simultaneous the sound and the phenomena all together.
Simultaneously.
Quiet.
Then no word on it.
No word.
Quiet. Then inside. It moved. Then the thing just happened. Then later on, because she was very aware and in deep meditative state, she wanted to come out, remember? She realized she cannot come out. Then I think the nature want her to continue to meditate. Then the heart started to pump. Then she relaxed into it. That's why the key word is relax into it and be with it. Don't resist. So you look at the whiteboard, be with it, at peace with it, don't resist. So when she did that, what happened? That vibration become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more fine, until still. then stabilize. Then after that, she can slowly come out. When she slowly come out, the mind state is different. She very mindful. Then she was very happy and full of joy. Then she knew something happened. Then after that, he came after the class, the morning, or the night, or yesterday, I forgot already. He come and tell me, I got something to share. her face very happy. He said, I got something to share. And she seldom tell me that one. I said, oh, like that, good, come, we sit there. That's why I sat with her there. Oh, then she tell me, oh, I said, good, sadhu. I said, that's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, I'm very grateful to her too, because she actually sacrificed a lot. She supported me when I do all these things, and she together with me also developed the cultivation. And she take care of the household very well. As a teacher, my two children, the whole of the household, our clothing, washing, everything is done by her. Earlier on we have maid, but lately we have temporary maid. Then she is so understanding. She never like other people get angry. You know how much of my time goes to Dhamma work, you know. I already described this morning. I tell you, you have a wife, every day you do ladala. You leave her at home, if she is not a cultivator together, I tell you, very likely divorce already. But she was so understanding, you know, and so supportive, you know. Then for Dhamma, she willing to sacrifice too. There's a lot of other people who know, they really grateful to her. Not easy to borrow people's husband for so long. Every week, so many hours. Then initially, we're still. I think, got a little.
It belonged to nature.
Oh, now she understands. Last time during the early day, she got a little bit jealous. Because all those kama, 80-90% all gone. That not married one a lot that time. And every time I sit, I listen. Then I talk to them. Even you very generous wife also, you will have this type of feeling. But later on she okay, you know, because she know the work I do is genuine. Then he come to know all those parameters. That's why there were a lot of joy. So you have to know her. Don't think that she is very quiet, very timid, don't talk. How many of you have talked to her? Oh, quite a number. So if you know her, you will like her, because she has good nature. The only good thing about him is, and not the only, the one of the very good thing about her is, she is very, very, very sincere, very honest, and very naive. That's why sometimes I would, in the early days, remember Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda, don't be a good hearted fool. She very kind. So I said, you have to learn this part that you never learned in your previous life. I said, you have to learn to accord and flow. Got condition only, you do. No condition, no need, let things be. Otherwise you will have suffering. So, and then, over the past 10 over years, I think, she got no more this type of problem. Earlier on got attachment to family, to parents and all. So. Then like, every time talk to me, need to help the parent family. So initially, when she requests, I say, okay, no problem. Then he said, help until, at first I remember, he said, until the brother, sister come back, graduate, come back. After that, continue to help one. And like, initially very kanchong one. Any phone call come on, rush over already. Then the mother, especially the mother, know, got any problem, call her, she'll cultivate, or whatever the problem is. So it become like, any problem, call her, until the other sister also get jealous because the mother always praise my wife and always tell the sister, you can be like elder sister, will be very good. And she not married, no second one. So there was some of the history behind. Then I told her, I said, you come this time with this form of mind is to break through anatta, anasana, so that you don't attach anymore, you don't cling anymore. Otherwise, if you fail, you have come again, anasana. Not to say, I like to come. Every time you come, I must come. No such thing, anasana. So, later on she understand, then she clear and she penetrated. Well, there are many things that living being cannot understand. Well, this cultivation is not what you think, I tell you. There are a lot of things. That's why the Buddha said law of karma is very complex, very complicated, and very difficult to understand. Unless you really have that type of understanding. And to do that, you have to fulfill that very key, basic bodhisattva vow. Remember the four? This one is to interpenetrate all dhammas until they are all understood. Before you really reach the tail end of all this understanding, it's very difficult to understand karma, how it actually works and all those things. That's why the real cultivator of the way, because of their cultivation, they have gone through so much. That's why they can understand a lot of things. Then those Kayamita who follow me, they will know. Yeah, there are certain cultivators, very chronic one. How to handle that type of situation? Well, everyone is so different. So it's not an easy job. And this job, no pay or no. You have to really, really have that type of heart to do one. And a lot of Kayamita used to tell me, he not only do all this, like Mi Fong say, he blanja yo makan. Then he is very willing to like share everything with you. Then the other thing is also, but this one no need to say lah. No need to say lah. Later I got condition. Yeah, I say. I have a lot of kayamita to do certain thing. Oh yeah, the Tuesday class. A few kayamita used to tell us, you want good food, you go attend Brother Teo's class. Talk with your folk, say, got good food. Then all the Mandi kayamita gathering, all the good food there. So there are quite a number of kayamita. Oh, Brother Teo, talk with your folk. A lot of good food. So, whatever it is, there are affinity, understand not? Then you know how to make full use of this affinity, then you will actually partake in all this wholesomeness. But there are many things that has been done for Kayamita. The only thing is, most Kayamita who are new, they don't understand, they don't know. But the old Kayamita, they know how, through understanding, I have set up the Kayamita fund and all those things, and make all the event that we do every year, the Monday gathering, the annual gathering, then the Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, and how we actually do the puja, the sharing and all things. Every of this is different. It serves a purpose. Like the Sunday class, Poyan Zhang Lao there, the Wu Ping Jing Sir, actually everything just happened. I'm not supposed to go and teach one. In Mahayana temple, no, I English educator, banana owner, how to go there and teach? Oh, and I teach English, you know, they allow. Oh, and it was a great surprise because normally Mahayana would not allow this type of thing. Then I come from Theravada tradition. No, but because people can feel what I share is different. So that's why it has been there for 3 years, I think. 3 or 4 years already, I think. Then the schedule, everything is different. There is a reason behind everything that this nature do. Because this nature, it always have this understanding. for the good of the many, the Kayanamitta, how can they progress? Because there is affinity. That's why you will know what to do. Then you will know how to set all this thing up. So if you have faith, you only need to have faith, then be sincere, then you will progress. Yeah. The last one is, of course, persevere. When you have faith and sincerity, you will persevere. Then the way is that you will fulfill your good and noble wish. This type of aspiration, we always do for you. So do not be heedless, then you are destined for enlightenment, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless. Strive on with heedfulness. Okay? Okay. We rejoice. Huh? Anybody wants to report anything? Anybody? Ah, yes. Pass the mic to Stephanie's sister. Posia. Poyen Posia. Wow, the name is very good, no? Poyen Posi. Posi is Dana. Poyen is create affinity. No? Yeah. You can, huh? Yeah.
First of all, I would like to
Never mind, take your time.
Ask for forgiveness from Brother Teals.
No problem.
All the committee who organized the
retreat, yes.
All fellow
Dharma friends. Dharma friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that I can join this
retreat.
Retreat.
Okay.
Especially thanks to
your sister.
Yuchang.
Sister
and my brother too.
Ah, yeah. Your brother also encouraged you. Very good.
If he didn't come for this trip, I would.
You also won't come. That's why the condition is, you come, I come. You no come, I no come. Very good. Then anything else you want to share?
We have to the for the retreat before.
Oh, okay.
So,
very good.
With Yuanchang and
yes.
To the Lunas. So our training is very much different from
a lot of different. Your son is the Kuliman, is it?
Yeah.
Mitos, yeah.
Yeah.
Lunas. Lunas, yeah, Lunas, sorry. Luna. Last time, Reverend Suwano place.
So, very much like what happened to this sister who report.
Oh, okay.
We have been experiencing
Time. The conditioning, where they are taught. They believe this is the way to meditate, so that's why they also teach you. Where they learn from somebody, then they didn't investigate. Then they think that somebody is a somebody. That's why they believe, because he is a somebody. You follow what he do, you will become like him, also somebody. But as long as you are somebody, you cannot realize. Understand? Not? That's why Ajahn Chah say, don't try to be an arahant. Understand? Not? Don't try to become somebody. The becoming is the cause of suffering. Understand? Vibhava tangha, and also bhava tangha, wanting to be becoming. So don't worry, because it's only different technique, method. Key thing is understanding. When you understand that they are just method and technique, skillful means to train your mind, then you just use it appropriately. The key understanding is the whole lot of the Buddha Dharma, you check everywhere the Buddha give him. You only need one thing to meditate and guarantee enlightenment. What is it? What is it? After so long, you still don't know. No, not silent, my heedfulness. Ayo. He, Dhammapada, was 21 already tell you, do not be fearful, otherwise you are saved. Then 22 emphasize again. He said, the wise one, they will intend on cheerfulness. They will realize the our rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya means the enlightenment. The third verse, guarantee you, if you are constantly meditative, ever mindful, if you hold on to these two practices steadfastly, you will definitely realize the bond-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. Then before he died again, he said, you do one thing only, strive on to develop heedfulness. Strive on with heedfulness. So it is very simple. Make yourself heedful, that's it. Enlightened already. True enlightened, sorry. Understand, right? So different technique and method doesn't matter. But you understand the teaching, it's so clear. But seldom people explain it this way, there's a problem. And what is heedfulness, apamada also, seldom people dare to define, understand? Have you heard of any clear-cut definition of what apamada is, heedfulness is? So that's why without that understanding it's very difficult. So the Buddha keep on saying, you must be heedful, otherwise you are accepted. If you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Somehow the teaching so clear, keep on repeating here and there. The whole of Apamada Vaga, the Dhammapada verse on heedfulness, start with verse 21 onward. The first three verses is 21, 22, 23. The Buddha put it very clearly. What heedfulness is, Apamada is, and how important it is. Then Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 also same. Your life, you decide, is it? If you don't train your mind to be heedful so that you are ever mindful of your action, speech and thought, so that you do not be heedless to create the evil roots, then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leave you. So very simple, isn't it? You want to be happy, peaceful, you follow Dhammapada verse 2, you train your mind, you be heedful. If you continue to be heedless, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, then suffering will follow you. Well, every time you act, speak and think with a heedless mind, with the evil root, it has karmic implication. It can cause you suffering and affliction because you plant the causes. So all these are very clear in the teaching, in the sutta. Okay, you want to continue your sharing?
Yeah. Actually, I want to share from other retreat that I have been through, the practice is different, and the method and the
technique is it? Method and technique.
Yeah, different. And what
the other thing is, you realize that you do without understanding, without investigating, you just believe and do. Because they tell you, you do like that, one day you will become enlightened. You do like that, it is vipassana, and you will become enlightened one day, but that day he didn't tell you when. So this is where I found a lot of those yogi who actually earlier on got this type of condition to meet up with me. Then I explained to them, I said, do you realize one thing or not? After retreat, or retreat after retreat, when you come back into daily life, you realize you haven't really changed. Because you cannot lie to yourself. Your defilement still there, your fear still there, your greed still there, your selfishness still there. The way you do things, you are hardly mindful throughout the day. But they will have the idea that in the retreat, they become more peaceful, more calm, they're very mindful, they already have insight, they got vajnana. If this is true, then you come into daily life, you are also heedful, understand? Where the Buddha make it very clear, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So this is what you need to check. If it's a retreat environment, conditioned state of mind, then only you can be peaceful and so-called mindful, then it may not apply when you come out into real life, understand or not? That's why you have to check. Then do not be what they call gullible, just believe. You investigate into it. Then check with whoever who maybe understand. Then find out more. Then investigate yourself. Then if it stand up to investigation, use it. So this is the advice of the Buddha to the Kalamas. Do not believe anything that is spoken by even great religious teacher, including him. He said the criteria to check is what they advise you to do. If you do, does it harm yourself? Does it harm others? If not, no harm doing. If the truth, you benefit. This advice is very good. But you must apply to your own thought, understand? When your thought condition you to do something, you better ask the thought, inquire. If I follow the thought, does it harm myself? Does it harm others? You go and check. All those who are depressed, who have suffering, all the thought tell them to do is get angry. This guy did this to you. You must take revenge. Then you follow that thought. You go and develop all those anger, fear, unhappiness, dislike, envy, jealousy, and you. All these are evil root. And you keep on accumulating. Through your thinking, you make it more and more what they call strong, understand? Not? You know how it becomes stronger? Not? When you think and think and think until it becomes like so strong, it is conditioning, then you know what they do. They even plan how to deal with you. No? Next time when they see you, when you say this, they are going to do all this. No? So all this is already accumulated. No? Very strongly in the memory. So the moment he see you and you open your mouth, I tell you like machine gun. That's how when you are heedless, you cannot see. You didn't apply this to your own thought. So if the thought tell you to develop wholesomeness, goodness, then you don't harm yourself, you don't harm others. But you get angry, envy, jealousy with the evil root, you make yourself miserable. And spiritually is an evil root, is a tree poison. It kills you, it makes you evil. So Kalama Sutta say, if you check it's like that, then don't follow. Understand? Do you know how to apply now? Yeah? Apply Kayanamita Sutta to your own thought. Understand? So that every action, speech and thought you arise, you check. If I follow, if I do, does it harm me? Does it harm others? Then you will get the answer. And you will know how to cultivate. Okay? You continue.
For the first night, because of temperature difference, I couldn't sleep. But the next day, I was fully alert.
Oh, sadhu. Yeah.
So I can sense that it's different.
Very different. Here, the energy is very strong. Very strong.
But
still a lot. Yes. Never mind. Initially, it's like that.
After second day, second night, can rest. I have good sleep. So the next day, I able to have a
good meditation.
Short period of silence.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Keep on coming back.
Definitely, because the hindrances are very powerful, the habitual tendencies are very powerful. And these are all the things that you give meaning to in daily life, understand? Not? Because you want to hold on to them to resolve it or to attend to it. Like all those things that you keep accumulating. Yeah? So this is the one that will keep on coming out, understand? Not? Like if you give importance, or you have certain problem, then that problem, because the mind have this, what they call attachment, your problem, you need to solve it. Hey, keep on coming on, understand? That's why when you have First Noble Truth, situation, like health problem or say, that thought keep on coming back to haunt you one because you call it a problem, understand? So don't worry about the thought. The thought is there because it is a habitual condition of the mind. Because of heedlessness, you live your daily life like that. Oh, I think to the new batch, I didn't explain this. Huh? You listen, it will help you. The five mental hindrances, I didn't really explain. I just asked you to read the notes. What are the five mental hindrances? First one is sensual desire. Okay? Then, second one is what? You got a chart or not? Right? Where is our Suyan? Where is the chart? The one on this one? The five mental, oh, didn't bring, huh? Never mind. So, five mental hindrances. What are mental hindrances? It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful and entering the state of meditative peace and calm. That's why it's called hindrance. It hinders you. So whenever the five mental hindrances are there, your mind cannot meditate, cannot go into the meditative state. And what are they? Sensual desire, ill will. Third one is what? Sloth and torpor, sleepiness, lethargic mind. Sleepiness or lethargic mind. The fourth one is restlessness, yes. This one, when you understand, it will help you a lot. Especially Stephanie's sister and those who are new. Because those who attend the class, you listen to the recording, it's almost every day or alternate week of the day, the classes, I will share this. So you ask yourself, if these are mental hindrance, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, if they exist in your mind, they hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calm. That's why you think a lot, you become very heedless, you cannot be peaceful. That's why you have to inquire, why are you not peaceful? Because the Buddha said the hindrances are there. Then you inquire, are you sure these hindrances are there? For Stephanie's sister, maybe we ask, do you have this hindrance? Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, then restlessness. Sleepiness, you know, when you're very tired or when you are very sleepy, you cannot meditate, your mind becomes very dull, very lethargic. So that one, I think a lot of new meditators, they have. Sometimes even long-time meditators, if they don't understand how to develop the spiritual faculty, they also have the hindrance. But more important is restlessness. This is the heedless thinking mind, agitated mind. That's why if you think a lot, means you are restless. You are not peaceful. And this one is born of accumulation in your brain, attachment. You are holding on to things. It may not be serious thing. But if it's the first noble true reality that are more serious, then it gives rise to what? When you live your life, when you have serious first noble truth problem, you will have fear, worry, and last one is what? Anxiety. This is how your mind becomes restless when you got problem. So you worry about your problem, like health problem, or career problem, or relationship problem, or financial problem. So you worry. The moment you worry, is your mind peaceful? Is your mind peaceful when you worry? When you have fear, worry, anxiety, is your mind peaceful? You become very restless, isn't it? Then how to meditate? And that's why this one happened because of what? You break precept. When you break precept, when you cheat, deceive, or you harm, or kill, or you try to get things through shortcut. That's why you break the law. you entangle with criminal things, CBT or actual criminal activity, then police case, everything. Those who are in it, or kena anti-corruption investigation, I tell you, you cannot sleep. You got fear, worry, anxiety, and it haunt you. And your mind state become miserable. So restlessness is a major hindrance for most human beings who don't keep their precept, who are not heedful, who are not able to discipline themselves. This law of karma is very powerful. Then the other two that is very powerful are the first two. Where the Buddha say, every moment you live your life, your senses are active, open. You have to see things, you have to hear things, you have to smell, taste, tactile feel, and arise the thought. He say, every moment of sense experience, when you see, hear, or think, or any other sense experience, what happened to you? What do you do normally? You always have this like and dislike, isn't it? Correct or not? Pleasant or unpleasant, isn't it? What are these? These are the first two hindrances. Whatever you like, you develop craving. You want it to repeat it or sustain longer. Whatever you don't like, you develop aversion or dislike. And you term it unpleasant feeling. Like your pain and all. That's why in the meditation, when you got pain, you go and note pain, pain, pain. What are you doing? You create hindrance for yourself, understand? It's just a sensation. Sensation got no word before you labor, asana. But through your conditioning, you dislike. So it's a hindrance. When you have hindrance, you somehow go and note hindrance. How can your mind enter the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness? The only way they can do it is they go and concentrate and suppress the thing and do energy field, concentrate, make their mind peaceful by focusing and all those things. Yeah. So what you need to do is, you don't have to fight the hindrance, the Buddha said. You develop the five opposite spiritual faculties, you will counter them all. But the problem with the first two is, every moment of sense experience when you live your life, you react, you know, positive, negative, duality, like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. If you do that so often throughout the day, what happens? It becomes habitual, isn't it? Mechanical, isn't it? Then if whole day you do like that, your mind will think a lot, will react a lot, will stir a lot. That's why you cannot do anything to the thought, like you say, Even second day, you got short moment of peace and calm. But the thoughts still come. The thoughts still come. It comes because of this habitual tendency in daily life. Then when you don't see the importance of meditation, you don't have virya. You don't have faith. You don't have virya. Then you become sleepy. Because you don't have any understanding of its importance. But you see the importance of it and the danger of heedlessness, then the spiritual zeal and the faith will drive you to cultivate. Then you cannot be sleepy. It's just like when it's something very important to you, life and death, you will go all out to do it, to resolve it. Or if it's something you like, your passion, you will not be sleepy. You will work very hard towards it and you will find time to do it. So sloth and torpor, sleepiness or lethargy might only come when you don't understand and you don't see the importance of that thing. It's just like you attend a school class. If what the teacher teaches is so boring you don't like, what happened in the class? You're very sleepy. Correct? You're very sleepy. But if the subject you like one, you wide awake one, or you can enjoy, you can laugh, or then you can clap. Oh, then you say, this teacher very good. Understand? Yeah, he talk a lot of joke. He give you a lot of humor. Then he teach in such a way you very easy to understand. Oh, like our Dr. T. Dam Teng, give you a lot of hint on, scared you fail on. So those like lecturer, you wide awake on, because very, very humorous. But those very serious one, the one very serious one is that, I think New Zealander, Where is me for once? Uncle Lo. You remember Uncle Lo? Uncle Lo? The mechanical one. T interior machine. Wow, I tell you, he come in and he talk about sport car and a Ferrari and all those things, 10 cylinder, everything. I don't like mechanical thing. I don't know what he's telling me. Then I heard from the senior, you be careful, this lecturer. The way he mark paper, there is no such thing as in between. No. Either you get zero or you get full mark. Like that one. Then his criteria very simple. He look at your answer. Answer wrong, zero. He no need to check and mark on. Answer wrong, zero. Answer correct, he check your assumption, check your step. Step wrong, assumption wrong, also zero. Oh. So you either fail or you pass, or you score. Well, I tell you, really, that time a lot of what they call unnecessary pressure. Oh. But luckily, because that time, because I give important, I know, wow, this lecturer like that one, cannot play, must understand. Don't like also, must study. So what I learned was, whatever subject you don't like, you don't know, you put more time, you spend more time, you give important, and you will learn it, and you will be good in it. So that was how I actually confront all this. I don't confront with fear. I turn it around and say, this is serious. I have to study. Otherwise, because we were told a lot of casualty on this lecturer. Oh. Then I think he looked like a Chinese, but he's a New Zealander. And the accent, very strong. I sometimes cannot understand his English. So these are the things from life you learn. So sloth and topper is like that. If I don't like that subject and I go and sleep, I tell you, I get into big trouble. I turn it around and say, no matter how I don't like and sleepy also, I must wake up during those times. Because I give important, because I heard from senior. Then I go and make sure the note is correct. Because his note is actually really good. He is not that cunning. You follow his note and you understand his note. His paper is actually very easy. It's logical and the understanding. And he is a very thorough lecturer. So these are what you learn. Then doubt is what? Doubt is the worst. When you don't have faith, when you are not confident in yourself. The first thing is faith in yourself. Understand? If you are not confident, they say half the battle is lost. Understand? Understand? Because you got worry, anxiety, where you doubt. But when you are very confident, you do very well. Understand? So, doubt is the worst. And meditation, doubt is what? What is doubt? You think it's not the Buddha's teaching. But sometimes Buddha's teaching, no. Different monk, different teacher teach different, no. This technique, this method. Then you have doubt, no. Follow this or follow that. You heard people say this one good. Then some say this one no good, that one good. Then you undecided in between. So doubt is very dangerous. That's why the Buddha said, develop faith through what? Understanding who the Buddha is, how beautiful his teaching is. So when you have this, your faith will counter doubt. Then when you have faith, what happened to your mind? Your mind become very calm and very composed, isn't it? Correct? When you have faith in the Buddha, very calm, very composed. So a calm and composed mind is not restless, correct? So it overcome doubt, the faith, then it overcome restlessness. Understand? Then when you have this faith very strong, it will drive you to cultivate. When it drives you, you have virya, sada and virya. Then sloth and topa, no more. Understand? Then these two, you need to overcome through mindfulness and wisdom and samadhi, which are the other three spiritual faculties. When you are mindful means what? You are aware, no thought. Understand? No thought means what? No like, no dislike. No pleasant, no unpleasant. The mind will not stir. But when the thought come in, you will stir. Where you perceive it, you label it pain. Means it shifts to the negative craving. Understand? Then you enjoy the nice meditation. Wow, calm, peaceful. And then it becomes positive craving. Meditation is not about good or bad meditation, not about just developing peace and calmness. Of course, peace and calmness is a byproduct of meditation, asana. But the purpose of meditation is to insight into phenomena, the characteristic of nature, to develop wisdom so that you can confront life, so that you don't have to suffer unnecessarily. Understand? Okay? So all these five hindrances will be gone when your spiritual faculty is there. So this is how you overcome them. You don't go and control, suppress, and fight the hindrance. Then through your spiritual faculty, you will develop wisdom and understanding and overcome all this. So you're reporting just now about your mind having this thought coming. You don't worry because now you understand, because you live your daily life throughout the day until that like and dislike, discrimination of pleasant and unpleasant becomes so strong, so habitual. That's why it keeps on arising. That's why every moment of thought, it has this type of behavior. Every moment of sense experience, it has this type of behavior. That's how the hindrance become powerful. Okay? Yeah. Continue. Huh? Yeah.
I think I get emotional when I heard your talk yesterday. So I can't get myself composed. I couldn't
calm down yourself.
Calm down. So even sit down, all type of thought will come back.
At least to the extent you are aware that there's a lot of thought, but always remember, don't get angry with yourself. Understand? Don't go and like remorse and all those things. Like, don't go and create a negative thought that, how come I got so much of this thinking, this thought? I cannot calm down. I cannot compose. This is actually aversion. Understand? Craving, negative one. Because you don't like that type of mind state. So meditation, what did I say? Be with it, at peace with it. So the hindrance come, whatever come, when you be with it and at peace with it, means what? You develop sati to counter it. So when you are able to silence your mind, that's why you remember the short interval of silence, you are very peaceful, isn't it? Because the hindrance cannot arise. That's why no thought is there. Because you don't think. So now you know why I say silent and at peace. Be with it. At peace with it. Don't do anything. Just don't get unhappy with the thought. Don't get unhappy with the sleepiness. Don't get unhappy when the restlessness come. But these are hindrances. You tell yourself, before you train the mind, it's like that. Everybody who started also like that. So don't blame yourself. Don't be too harsh on yourself. Accept that the untrained mind is heedless. Think a lot with the hindrance. When you accept means what? You are at peace. Listen, you are at peace. You don't react in there. Means what? No sensual desire, no ill will. Neither do you want to push it away or attach to it. So once the sensual desire, ill will not there, no hindrance. That's all. The first two hindrance not there. That's why you become peaceful. That's all. That's why silence is the real meditation. Even restlessness when they arise, sleepiness, you stay, be with it, at peace with it. You go and try. Then all of a sudden, shift of consciousness, the whole sleepiness, that is your mind no more, flash through. Then another virya arise, the mind become very bright and very clear. And that's how you use the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. And spiritual faculty, silent mind is very important. That's why it leads to heedfulness. When you are heedful, all the hindrance can go. So now you start to understand. Good.
Yeah. I can feel out the metta forming from all.
You can feel
from all the calamities.
Oh, sadhu. Very good.
And when I receive my heart found very fast. Wouldn't stop.
Yeah, couldn't stop. You will feel
first
it.
Time, I ask, stop.
Okay, it's a good experience. Good. Anything else?
That's what today. I don't know whether it's right, because when I see it, after Brother Teo's sharing of the poor support for
meditation,
I try to
relax.
Very
good.
To be with.
Yeah. Do you do the mind sweeping method?
Mind sweeping method.
It will help you. How many times? Many times. Oh, you do metta. Also help. Metta also help. Very good. That's why your mind become more calm and more comfortable. Well, metta is wishing people well-being and happiness. That is a good mind state. That's why the mind will develop faith and become very composed, very calm. That is the mind that can actually go into the silent mind. Because wholesome state will bring about peace and calmness, then restlessness no more. Then when you are able to allow it to be just silent, then sati come in. That's why metta can overcome restlessness. It make you calm and peaceful and well-being inside. Then silent mind can overcome sensual desire, you will. Then when you have faith, viriya, you got no more sleepiness. Then the hindrance is at bay. The doubt also no more when you have faith. So because of that, the hindrance no more, you automatically go into the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why the silence can come. The spiritual faculty take over. That's why there is this sati, silent mind. Understand? Then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then you develop it into the daily life. Then this calm state of mind with sati and samadhi without thought can see things as they are. Then you understand reality, not through idea, concept and Dhamma, understand? Not through the thought. That's why you will insight into phenomena, you will develop wisdom, where you understand exactly how you function as a human being, how your mind stir and how it condition craving, attachment, and through self-delusion, how all these condition your suffering, your misery, your fear. Okay? Good. Anything else?
The metta, I get myself to be aware. Then I calm down. And the heart start to pound.
Then you can feel the heartbeat. Very good. Then what you do?
I try to be with it.
You don't tell it to stop.
I don't tell it to stop.
Because these are natural phenomena. So you can hear your heartbeat means your mindfulness has developed to a certain extent because you did metta. Then you, like you say, you try to silence, you follow the four support, relax into it, then let it settle down, then you become peaceful. That's why you can feel the heartbeat pounding. Then you let it be. Always remember, be with it, at peace with it, understand? Means, don't do anything, silent. And you will understand a lot of things. And the heartbeat will settle, become more and more quiet, and very refined. Then you have a lot of beautiful mind state. That peace, that tranquility, that stillness will arise. This is what meditation is all about. Then after that, you become very stable. Then throughout the day, you don't really think anymore, hardly any thought. And that is the heedful mind. That is the mind that is no longer like before, so heedless, think a lot, with so much hindrance. That one only got spiritual faculty, no hindrance. That one got faith, sadha, sati, virya. Then when it stabilized, samadhi come in. When samadhi come in, the wisdom, panya, keep on arising. That's why you will like to meditate. Then you will understand a lot of things on your own. Very good. Sadhu. Anything else? Anything else you want to ask or share?
For the morning session, I have... after the evening session, before the evening break,
yes,
I think I sit for more than 1 hour.
Wow, sadhu. Very good. No pain.
I used to have back pain.
Yeah.
At home, I have to put oil.
But the 1 hour plus, no problem. Wow, sadhu. Rejoice. Sadhu. Very good. Oh, very good. Very good. First time you attend my class. You got very good parami. Sadhu to you. Very good. Okay. Anything else to add?
For the heart pounding very fast. Then after fast it goes slow.
Very good. So you know what is impermanent here. Sometimes fast, sometimes slow. Understand? You just silent and be with it, then you understand its characteristic, understand? There is a reason why it go fast, there is a reason why it goes slow. You will find out, you will understand. When you stay with it, initially fast is because sometimes certain beings are helping you. Then because you are very sincere, you are very devoted, then it will come. So when it comes, then you go into it. It suddenly like slow down and become very quiet. Then at the moment where you want to become very quiet, then they come again. So it's to like let you go through this. If your mind interferes, means what? You, how come like that one? Power so fast, no? Slow already, now fast again, no? Like you drive car. You have sent to mechanic, tune very nicely. Then at the workshop, they test for you. Because it didn't run. Wow, the engine not very slow. Then they pass the key to you, you pay the money. Then after that, you drive. Initially, very slow. Then you reach certain speed. Then you very unhappy. Then you go back complain. So when you meditate, you don't understand also. You go and complain. Once the thought comes in, you will lose the ability to be silent. So always remember, whatever arises, accept it. Stay with it. Be with it. At peace with it. Understand? Don't stir your mind. Okay? That one is the most important.
Thought still come back, but
definitely.
Not
very good. Now you listen, As long as you are aware of the pounding, there is no thought. Understand? But the moment you lapse and not aware, come out again. And now you know why. When there is fatigue, there is no thought. No thought means no memory, no stirring, no release of the respond to memory. But the moment you are not aware, you are lost in thought. Because I told you that you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are in sati or you are lost in thought. That's why when you don't have any object for it to be aware initially, the mind becomes heedless again. That's why the Buddha asks you to stay on the four foundations. First foundation is your body, kaya. Founding of the heartbeat is kaya. Rising, falling is kaya. Anapanasati is kaya. The four posture is kaya. All action, all movement is kaya. Then after that, when you are more stable and more skillful with the initial wisdom, born of daily mindfulness, then you can allow your mind, sati, to stay, or foundation of mindfulness of vedana, to stay on the feeling. Then you can just be with the moment of feeling. Then the feeling won't move, I tell you. Won't move. Feeling will remain as feeling. Because you don't labor, you don't like deludedly allow it to move. Where you can accept whatever sensation is just a sensation. Understand? You don't labor it. You don't create aversion. You don't create like or dislike. You don't create hindrance, and then you will be at peace. Understand? And when you are at peace, that is meditation. So meditation is very simple. So like you say, thoughts still arise because you cannot understand. Understand? Thought arise because you got lapse in awareness, mindfulness. Whenever you are aware of the pounding of the heart or whatever object of meditation you are doing, like anapanasati, then thought cannot arise. But because it's not stable, you have not developed it until it's very stable, continuous. That's why it still arises. It arises because you have been heedless, the habitual tendency, for so long. That's why you cannot expect overnight the hindrance to go. So all this you need to train your mind. to have more and more spiritual faculty, so that you will cut down on your reaction to sense experience, so that the hindrance of like and dislike slowly, slowly, like less and less, less and less, and cease to be. When you are more mindful, you are more aware, you got less thought. Then when you straighten your view not to react, then every time you see something, you can be at peace. You hear something, you can be at peace. You smell something, you can be at peace. Understand? And then slowly the hindrance will go. Because when you have faith, when you have wisdom, you just do what you need to do. Then the hindrance will be gone. The moment the hindrance is gone, you automatically go into the meditative state. That's why when you have the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, your meditation very simple. Actually, not the object of meditation. You sit only, you go in already. We got quite a number of karamita. Now, no need to train the mind. The moment they sit, they silent, they still, they can be aware. But the mind is trained. You can direct the mind what they want to do. I want to be peaceful, I want to be silent. Then you will be silent. Then you want to allow it to invest in anything, you will go and just do it. Because the trained mind listen to you, understand? The untrained mind is heedless. It doesn't listen to anybody because you got no control over it. You cannot direct it also. Because the hindrance never ask permission from you to come out. Understand? So all this you will slowly, slowly develop understanding through your own investigation, meditation. Understand, huh? Okay, good. Anything else? No more? Oh, still got. Oh, okay. That's all. Okay, thank you so much. Let us thank her. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, almost 9 something. You want to do chanting? Ingbi? Hey, Amy, want to do chanting? Your Karaniya, no need. Okay. Then we rest earlier. Very tired, I think, quite a number of you. So we do our closing puja the usual way. Yeah? Sharing on merit with the devas. Akasata Chirbumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamo Ditwa. Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hot nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will chant the invocation of blessing for the nation. Deo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, we will do the aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame balang samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is finally realized. Sadhu, Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Tripa Jama. Sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sangham namami. Okay, let's rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you.